Miller was a close Talmud of our Soloveitchik, and as we were just speaking, he made it here during the Six-Day War. There was a group of YU Talmidim that volunteered to come when the war was imminently at the doorstep of Israel. So a group of YU, a large group of YU Talmidim, got on a plane to come, and they made it here during the Six-Day War. So Rav David has really seen the whole history, things we've been talking about. But the hashkafic issues as well as the historic issues are always very delicate. And we know that Rabbi Miller, as the big Talmud Chacham he is going to help us navigate some of the issues that you need to have clarity on.
Yeshiva, Kvod Rashi HaYeshiva, Poskim B'Kvod Achsanya, we at Grus feel a very, very warm connection to Darkei Noam, to Chappelle's. We've absorbed many of your graduates as our students, and Baruch Hashem, many of our alumni serve as your faculty, Rav Eliezer, Rav Yonatan, Rav Yaakov, and I have the schus of having Shechenim Tovim in Har Nof, Rav Karlinsky, Rav Hirschfeld. So it's a very, even though you're not familiar, but it's a very familiar setting. I think this is about the fourth or fifth time that I'm speaking here on Yom HaAtzmaut. Ein Beis Hirsch Belo Chiddush, you're the Chiddush, you're new students. Aside from the zchus of having been here since the Six-Day War, I think I'm the only one who was born before Qum HaMedina who's in the room. And so I also have a unique, special relationship to Yom HaAtzmaut. I'm happy that I just got in under the wire. Okay. You're all well aware that within the religious community, there are very, very differing opinions as to how to relate to Qum HaMedina in general and to Yom HaAtzmaut in particular. There is a well-known Ramban in Chumash, Parshas B'Shalach, that when Klal Yisrael came to Yam Suf and they looked at their situation, saw the water in front of them, the Egyptians behind them, to the left and to the right were mountains and desert. They divided into arba kitot. They divided into four groups as to what should be their reaction. Should they flee? Should they fight? Should they pray? Or should they surrender? And so we also have, I think, in terms of Yom HaAtzmaut, arba kitot as to how to relate to the establishment of the State of Israel, without any particular order, the view of Rav Kook, the view of the Satmar Rebbe, the view of the Haredi world as a whole, and then a fourth view that I'd like to present to you, which is, in my humble opinion, the view of Rav Dessler and of Mori Varabi, my Rebbe, who is known as the Rav. I know in Eretz Yisrael the Rav is Rav Kook, but in Chutz Laaretz, in America, it was Rav Soloveitchik. I think it's their view that I'd like to present to you as a fourth option. But I'd like really to stress to you that currently we're in the Tkufa Sfirat HaOmer. It's a period of time that should be very, very uplifting. We're on our way to Matan Torah, just counting the days. And yet we're observing Minhagei Avelut, we're observing customs of mourning because of the tragic death of 24,000 students of Rabbi Akiva, who died during this time in a plague. And Chazal tell us that the underlying reason for the plague, shelo kibdu ze etze, there was a lack of respect. And so I think that we should keep in mind that all four opinions that I'm going to mention are all legitimate opinions that stem from a very, very sincere desire to understand Ratzon Hashem, and that we should respect all of the opinions, even if we for ourselves choose one or the other. So I'll start with the Satmar Rebbe. There is a volume called Al HaGu'ula V'Al HaTmura that he wrote on this topic. And he pointed out that we are dealing with a Ma'aseh Satan. We're dealing with a situation which is presented to us by the other side. Similar, it's a Nisayot, similar to the Eitz HaDa'at Tov V'Ra. Something that looks very, very enticing, looks very, very delicious, but Hashem said no. And so similarly, over here, we went into exile, we went into Galut. According to Chazal, we took upon ourselves oaths, we took upon ourselves Shalosh Shavuot, and one of them is Lo Ta'alu B'choma, that we should not return to Eretz Israel by force, via our own initiative. We should have patience. Avodas Hashem, those who serve God, who are also those who wait, and we should just wait. We should have patience. Kadosh Baruch Hu promised us that the Mashiach will come, and we should wait for Mashiach to come at a Kadosh Baruch Hu's point in history. And the Medina currently is a passing illusion, and it's a rebellion against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even the terminology that those who set up the state chose to describe themselves, Ma'apilim, those who are going up, within our sources, the Ma'apilim are those who wanted to go to Eretz Israel against the will of God. After God said that they were meant to remain in the wilderness, and therefore Yom HaAtzmaut is a day of mourning, a day of tearing Kriya. It's a serious, serious mistake of the Jewish people. One opinion. A second opinion, that of, I guess, the classic Haredi world. I live with your Rashi Yeshiva in Har Nof. The minyan this morning in Har Nof was a minyan like every Thursday morning. No different in any respect. V'hu rachum and tachanun. And Kriyas HaTorah, and Tefillin. And it was a regular minyan, that the opinion is that Herzl Zionism is a secular movement. It's a secular nationalism. It came to deal with the problem that Herzl saw of anti-Semitism. Dreyfus had been framed. He was tried for treason. Jews were scapegoats. In Kishinev, there were pogroms. And so he decided to solve it by creating a national entity, a godless entity. And the state basically pulls people away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One has a sense, and one hears it constantly, of Kochi Va'otzem Yodi. This is something that we Jewish human beings have created. We defend ourselves with our army. Recently, we tried to get to the moon, and one heard the speeches, a tremendous amount of hubris, of inner gaiva. And this is not us. And therefore, it's pulling people in the wrong direction. And so, basically, it should be ignored. It's not our baby. It's not our concern. We're going to do what we have to do to live here, but this is not our celebration. That's the second view. The third view is that of Rav Kook, and those of you who may have gone down towards Kriyat Moshe yesterday would have seen the celebrations. The opposite of Satmar. We're dealing over here not with a nisayon from the Sitra Achra, from the other side, from the Satan, but rather we're dealing with an atchalta de geula. We're dealing with a process which is guaranteed to bring us towards Mashiach, to where we want to be headed. Reishis Tzmichat Geulatenu. There's been a planting of the organic unit, which is just going to grow. The three vows, the Shalosh Shvuot, are null and void. The non-Jews didn't keep their side of the bargain, which was to allow us to live peacefully in Galut, and so we are no longer held to our side of the bargain. Nationalism is a Jewish ideal. We were meant to have a land. We were meant to have a government. It has intrinsic value. The secular Zionists are holy rebels, right? That it's true that they reject the Torah, but they reconnected us to our national side, which is meaningful. And therefore, by reestablishing Jewish sovereignty in Eretz Yisrael, they've taken the first step, and now it's for us just to continue to add in the Torah into the Medina. And when we have a Medina al-Pi Torah, then we have Mashiach, and then we'll have Binyan Beis HaMikdash, and we will reach, Im Yirtzeh Hashem, the end of history. 1 + 1, a nation plus Torah, equals 2, equals Geula. And that is the way that one should view Yom HaAtzma'ut, as a day of Hallel v'Hoda'ah, that we're in the process of a guaranteed program, a guaranteed process. There may be temporary ups and downs, but one can already see the light at the end of the tunnel. The fourth approach, historically, I think, would begin with a letter of Rav Dessler. Up to this morning, I thought it was a letter, and then my wife, she should live and be well, showed me, no, it's a series of letters. That the letter that I'm going to quote to you is from a Michtav Me'Eliyahu, the fifth chelek, but in the third chelek, there is a series of letters that this is a part of. For those who are not aware, Rav Eliyahu Eliezer Dessler was a student of the Musar movement in Kelm. He established a kollel in Gateshead, and then he became the mashgiach in the Panovitchi yeshiva in Bnei Brak. And the letter that I'm going to quote to you is a letter that he wrote from Gateshead to Panovitch. It was written in August 1948, Elul Tavshin Chet. The students in Panovitch had reminded Rav Dessler that the previous Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, the previous Yomim Noraim, he spent with them in Bnei Brak, and they asked, could he return? Could he return to the yeshiva and remain? And he wrote back to them, it's not the right time. He had a daughter in Shiduchim. He had to travel to America. But he does plan to return, and he did. He did return only a few months later, and he did make permanent residence in Panovitch and in Bnei Brak. But in the meantime, he wanted to send them a message. He wanted to give them chizuk. He wanted, as any mashgiach would want to do, to strengthen them spiritually. And so I'll read and translate. Akaveh, I really hope ki tishtadlu bekol oz, that you'll try with all of your strength lehitchazek. I'm not writing to one individual, I'm writing to the yeshiva as a whole. Specifically, because we're coming towards Rosh Hashanah, it's a special time to have an inner strength. Rosh Hashanah, for us, is not just a happy new year. Rosh Hashanah is a day of judgment, a Yom Hadin. And this is the first day of judgment, Livchon b'ma'aseinu, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to look at our behavior. Ech kibalnu et hanisim hagluyim. How did we relate to the open miracles? Asher mara lanu Hashem yitbarach b'li hefsek b'shana zo. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu has been showing to us, without there being any break, a continuity of open miracles during this past year. Shonehu Rosh Hashanah ze mishar shanim she'avru. This Rosh Hashanah is a manishtana, is different than the previous Rosh Hashanah that we have lived through. Ka'etu ha'cheshbon, Kosh Baruch Hu now is going to make an accounting. Shehit aluta ruchanit shahiyatalanu. How much were we able to raise ourselves spiritually? Miriyat anisim hagluyim, from seeing these open miracles. Umagadohu apachad, and the fear that Rav Dessler, this is printed, but I assume he wrote with a trembling hand. What is the fear? Shema chas v'shalom lo lad madnu behem kedaboy. Maybe we didn't internalize the lesson of these miracles as we should have. Harei alanu levakesh rachamim, and therefore we should ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to have mercy on us, shelo yichlu hanisim halalu, that these nisim, these miracles should not cease. Va'aleinu laharbot ma'od zuchuyot, and we have to work on building up our merits. This is from the fifth volume of Mishnah Eliyahu, page 531. What is Rav Dessler referring to? He's writing in August 1948. He says that the last year we have had a sense, we have been living through continuous miracles. So, historically, in November of 1947, that was the partition agreement that was passed in the United Nations. And then, in May of 1948, a war began with the Declaration of Independence of the Jewish state, and the Jews had not yet lost that war. Namely, the war had begun in May, June, July, August, and the Jews had not yet lost. They had not won. They had not won. The armistice agreement was only going to be in June 1949. They're in the middle of a war, and Jews are being killed, but they haven't yet lost. And these are the miracles, these are the nisim gluyim that Rav Dessler is saying that require that we recognize that this is the hand of God giving us gifts, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is waiting for our response. Are we going to respond properly to these miracles? Are we going to rise to the challenge of taking spiritual advantage of these gifts that are being given to us? Rav Dessler, as I pointed out, came to Eretz Yisrael a few months later, but he died already in Tavshin Yudalid in 1954. In 1956, Rav Yosef Dov Soloveitchik gave a drasha in the Lamport Auditorium of Yeshiva University in New York in Yiddish. I was only some 8 years old. I didn't understand Yiddish that well, so I wasn't there. But the drasha was transcribed. It was translated into Hebrew and then translated into English. A drasha that was entitled Kol Dodi Dofek. He never saw the letters of Rav Dessler. These letters were only published in the 1990s. But on his own, he continued in the same conceptual direction, and he expanded the set of Nisim Gluyim to that which Rav Dessler had spoken of a window from 1947 to 1948. The Rav was now viewing it from the perspective from 1956. The state had already existed 6 years. And goes in the same direction that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is waiting for us to respond, waiting for us to relate to these miracles. Rav Soloveitchik chose as his text and his metaphor the eighth parak of Shir HaShirim, the story of a metaphor of a young couple who were very much in love. And the young man had been away on a long journey, and it's night, and he comes back, and he's beginning to knock on the door, and the young lady is sleeping, ani yishena v'libi er. She hears the knocks, and then she hears his voice. Pisri li achosi ra'ayasi yonasi samasi. Open the door with very dear, endearing terminology. Rashinim latal kvutza sirasi selaila. It's dark, it's night, there's a mist. I'm wet, let me in. And her response, Pashatati et kutanti echacha el bashena, rachatsti et raglai echacha atanfem. Sort of a mixture of laziness and apathy. Please go away. It's not the right time. come back at a better time. I'm not interested now in getting out of bed. And then all of a sudden she realizes this is her love. This is the one that she's been waiting for all these years, that she's been missing. And so she jumps out of bed, kamti ani leftoach ledodi, opens the door, and he was gone. Dodi chamak avar. He left. And she searches, and to no avail. A tragic sequence that we're speaking about. She missed the opportunity. And she has no idea when the next knock is going to come. And the Rav posited that as a nation, we've been given an opportunity by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. An opportunity to end Galut, an opportunity to reunite with the Shechina by returning to Eretz Yisrael. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is knocking. Kol Dodi Dofek. Six knocks that accompanied, according to the Rav, the establishment of the State of Israel. Six wake-up calls in the night, in the post-Holocaust era. The first two were those Nisim Gluyim that Rav Dessler spoke about, and then the Rav added four more. And I'll just briefly summarize them, but you can probably find Kol Dodi Dofek online. The first, as Rav Dessler pointed out, in the political realm, there was a vote in the UN to recognize the State of Israel. Now, there was a Cold War. There was a Cold War between the United States and the USSR. They never voted the same on any issue previously since World War II in the United Nations. And all of a sudden, Truman gives instructions, vote for. And Gromyko, the foreign minister, gives instructions, vote for. That's the only time that the two nations, the two superpowers, voted together. The Rav pointed out probably that's why the UN was brought into existence for this vote. But it was a miracle. It was something that was totally unexpected. The second, in the military realm, David and Goliath. We have a Haganah fighting against Arab armies, and a nes v'soch nes that the army, Arab armies, opened war. Had they not begun a war, we would have had a partition. We would have had this little country without Jerusalem, without the Galil, without half the Negev. But because, like I had Paro, not chased after Klal Yisrael, we never would have had Kriyas Yamsuf. And but Baruch Hashem, there was a military war and a victory. By the time the Rav wrote his essay, there already had been a State of Israel. And then the Rav added four more realms: the theological realm, sociological realm, psychological realm, and the prophetic realm. Theologically, all of Christian doctrine had been built on the fact that they are the New Testament. They are the Brit Chadashah. We the Jews, we're the Old Testament. We rejected the Messiah, and therefore we were cursed. We're a wandering Jew. We're an accursed people. And all of a sudden, we return. We return to Zion. We had been thrown out of Zion because we rejected God. We rejected His Messiah. And what are we doing back there? And so the Christians said, well, Zion doesn't mean the State of Israel. Zion means the old city. And then came the Six-Day War. And so that's where they wanted to internationalize Jerusalem. Basically, the theology that underlies the Christian church had been pulled out. The rug had been pulled out from underneath them. The fourth miracle, sociologically, that since the Enlightenment, we had wave after wave of assimilation of the Jewish people. The American dream was exactly that. In other words, that Jews came to America, lost their identity, and became American. And for the first time, Jews became proud to be Jews. That the State of Israel gave the Jews a cause. It gave them something to link into. That they would raise money for Israel. They would support Israel. It changed the whole nature of the Jewish people around the world. What Yom HaTzma'ut did for world Jewry, later on, 20 years later, the Six-Day War did for Russian Jewry. And Birthright is basically, in other words, a continuity of that sociological phenomena. In the psychological realm, all of a sudden the world began to view Jews differently. Jewish blood is no longer hefker. that there is now an army. The Jews can defend themselves. There's a secret service. The Jews can revenge themselves. All of the perpetrators of the Munich massacre were murdered. All the nuclear reactor in Iraq was bombed out of existence. This is a different Jew than had existed. And the fourth knock that the Rav added to the previous two, to get up to six, are prophecies. All of a sudden, that which is written in the prophets becomes reality. Kibbutz Galuyot. There is an ingathering of exiles, thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of Jews from all over the world, from the Arab countries, from Ethiopia, from Yemen, from North America, South America, France, whereas everyone's coming to Eretz Yisrael. All these Jews are coming to Eretz Yisrael. This is a prophecy. This hadn't been for 2,000 years. And you read the prophets and you look at the reality. A pasuk in Zechariah, Od yeshvu zekeinim uzekeinot b'chutzot Yerushalayim. Elderly people will be sitting on benches in Yerushalayim. V'imolei ha'ir yeladim. And the city will be full of children. When had that ever been? Since Churban HaBayit, that hadn't been, and all of a sudden now, it's a reality. Od yishama ba'arei Yehuda uvechutzot Yerushalayim, kol sason v'kol simcha, kol chatan v'kol kala. People will get married in Jerusalem. This all became a reality. The desert began to bloom. This became a reality. Literally. And so when you put all this together, to summarize Rav Dessler and Rav Soloveitchik, the state of Israel is not a ma'aseh satan. It's not an act of Satan, nor is it an atchalta de geula, nor is it part of a process which is definitely leading towards redemption, nor is it a secular entity. It's a gift of God. It's God knocking and giving us opportunities to reach our potential, but not more than that. No guarantees. I will let you in on a conversation that my wife and I had with Rav Soloveitchik 46 years ago. We were married for a year. We went to America. We're married here. We went to America. I have a sister who lives in Boston. We visited her, and I wanted to introduce my wife to my Rebbe. And so we made an appointment to see Rav Soloveitchik on a Sunday morning after he gave shir. And my wife, who's an Israeli, she said, "I have a question for Rav Soloveitchik." He listened, and she said, "When I was in high school, I learned Kol Dodi Dofek. I learned your drasha, your essay. It was part of our curriculum." She went to high school here in Yerushalayim, the Korev. "And I want to know, in Israel, they say that there's a brisker tradition that there's never going to be a third korban. That there was a first korban, a first destruction, and a second one, and there's never going to be a third one." So she asked Rav Soloveitchik, "Do you have that tradition?" So he said, "No, I don't have that tradition. It's not from my father. I don't have that tradition." So she asked him, "Well, in light of what you wrote about the six knocks, do you believe that there will not be a third korban?" And he sat there and thought, and he said, "I don't know. I don't know." Namely, this is not aschalta de geula. This is not something which is guaranteed. This is a window of opportunity. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is waiting to see how we react. To conclude, I think had the Rav given the drasha not in 1956, but had he given it 20 years later, 30 years later, 40 years later, 50 years later, he would have continued the drasha for one more knock. Who ever heard of six knocks? Six is not a number spiritually. Seven is a number. Chaviven kol shviya, so all sevens. That's Shabbos and that's Shemitah and that's Moshe Rabbeinu and that's David HaMelech v'chulei v'chulei. That's where it's holding at a seven. But the Rav in 1956 was able to deal with the reality that he saw. There were six knocks. 20 years later, the Rav would have added a second knock that you're basically a part of. That there's been a spiritual revolution in the world of Torah. There wasn't one more nevuah of Yeshayahu, Ki Mitzion Tetzei Torah. That is the reality. Since Rav Yehuda Hanasi wrote the Mishnah 1,700 years ago, Torah has not been exported from Eretz Yisrael. Michi Asi Rav LeBavel, when the Talmud of Rav Yehuda Hanasi, Rav, came to Bavel, that was the last time that Torah went from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. Since then, it was always Chachmei Eretz Yisrael coming, Chachmei Bavel coming to Eretz Yisrael. In other words, Chachmei Ashkenaz, Chachmei Sfarad, Gaonim, etc., etc. This past Shabbos, I don't know if you're aware, the flights that left Eretz Yisrael on Thursday night and Thursday afternoon were full of Talmidei Chachamim from Eretz Yisrael going to Chutz La'aretz to give drashos and shul last Shabbos and then return to Eretz Yisrael on Sunday. 80 Talmidei Chachamim went from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel just to speak in shuls around America and then to come back. Exporting of Torah. I've been involved in Jewish education, as your Rebbeim have been for many years. 90% of the modern Orthodox high school graduates come to Eretz Yisrael, and that's where their religious maturity is established. Almost all the Beis Yaakov girls come to Eretz Yisrael to the various seminaries. In the Haredi world, the Kollel years are spent in Eretz Yisrael, in the Mir, in Brisk, etc. This is where it's at. Shailos that are asked to Chachamim in Eretz Yisrael. The Baal Tshuva movement is in Eretz Yisrael. Ki Mitzion Tetzei Torah, that's a knock. That's something that you could put on a higher plane, my humble opinion, than the military, the theological, the political, the chule. We're talking about Torah. We're talking about the essence of spiritual oxygen that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put into the world. And Eretz Yisrael currently is the spiritual center of Torah in the world. And so our challenge as a group and as individuals is to respond to the knocks, to respond to the window of opportunity. The Son of a Rebbe called Yom HaAtzma'ut Yom Hitbonenut. It's a day of introspection. It's a day of being able to ask ourselves, why was our soul put into the world at this point of world history? And so, Im Yirtzeh Hashem, we should all have a meaningful Yom HaAtzma'ut, Yom HaFonenut.